chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. One Bible commentator many years ago, he called this God's Hall of Fame for the heroes of faith and the heroines of faith, where he speaks about the men and the women of faith. Another Bible commentator, he called it God's Westminster Abbey. If you ever have the privilege to be in Westminster Abbey and to go on a guided tour, and the tour guide will tell you about so many famous people of all walks of life who are buried there. Well, this old Bible scholar, he said, this is God's Hall of Fame. This is God's Westminster Abbey. God emphasizes here some of his great men and women of faith. And I want you to think with me tonight, they're just what we can describe as a little thumbnail sketch. Just a person's life is summed up very, very shortly, very succinctly, as we read there. And I want to think about Noah tonight in verse 7. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became an heir of their righteousness, which is by faith. You know, beloved, it seems to be a principle with God that the darker the day, the more degenerate they are, the more definite God's testimony in his people shines forth. And thank God, in a terrible, dark day, the Bible says in the book of Genesis 6, 7, and 8, the story of Noah, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And here the Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God. How do we find salvation? Well, we're told that salvation is by grace and it is through faith. Ephesians chapter 2. And so the Bible reminds us here, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But by faith, Noah believed in God, trusted God, prepared an ark, saved his house, and in the doing so, he was a witness of godly living, holy living, and he condemned the world around him of their sin and of their wickedness, and he became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, when God created this world, God said that it was good. When God finished his creation, he said it was very good. But we know the story, how sin entered into the world. And so as we read about the days of Noah, we are reminded that it was a day of great darkness and a day of terrible depravity. In fact, the Bible reminds us there in the book of Genesis that the thoughts and the imagination of the hearts of men and women was only evil continually. God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Such, as it were, an extensive spread of evil. Their thoughts, their words, their deeds, evil continually. The very imagination of the thoughts of their heart, every iota of it, was evil. And it was in those very difficult days that Noah walked with God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And despite all the darkness and all the wickedness and all the depravity, the Bible says Noah walked with God. If you were to speak about what the Bible describes as let your conversation, and it speaks about your life, your manner of life, your lifestyle, when it speaks about Noah's conversation before an ungodly world, the Bible tells us here that he was a just man and perfect in his generations, and he walked with God. And I put it to you tonight that if Noah walked with God in such an ungodly day, Noah was out of step with his contemporaries. He may have been out of step with them politically, may have been out of step with them socially, he may have been out of step with them religiously. Maybe some of them were idolaters, pagan, heathen idolaters worshiping gods that were made by their own hands. Some worshiping themselves and their own ideas and their own worldview, and they would live how they wanted to live. Some worshiping the god of pleasure. But it was a terrible, dark day in which Noah lived. If you go, and there may be some people going on Valentine's Day to the jeweler's shop, and you might want to buy your loved one a diamond. When he puts the diamond out, you'll notice it's always on a black backdrop or a very dark backdrop, so that when the light shines upon the diamond, it glistens and it glows in a spectacular fashion against the backdrop. Friends, that's the way it is with Noah. In a world that had forgotten God, in a world that had rejected God, in a world that was totally and absolutely depraved, a day of darkness and total depravity, Noah shines out like a diamond against that backdrop. And we have read here, even over in the Epistle to the Hebrews, we think about Noah's conversation. He was a perfect man. He was a just man, and he walked with God. But you notice the vision that Noah had. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. This old world in which Noah lived, which we call the antediluvian civilization, a world that was so materialistic, and the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about it there in Luke's Gospel chapter 17, and he was speaking about the days leading up to his second coming, and he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days coming up to my return, when I come back again to this world. And he's also said, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven. He says about Noah's day, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came to destroy them all. And the Bible says that Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. There never had been a drop of rain in the world. And yet Noah told God to prepare an ark and to call men and women to repentance. And there's going to be a flood, and it's going to be a universal flood, not just a local flood. If it was just a local flood, he didn't need an ark. If it's just a local flood around what we might describe the Mesopotamian Valley, God could have helped them to round up all the animals and take them away out of the road. But it was a universal flood. This whole world was covered with water. Things not seen as yet. by faith were seen by Noah. See, beloved, the secret of the Lord, the scripture says, is with them that fear him. And Noah was living not just for time, but for eternity. And the Bible speaks about his motivation. It says in Hebrews 11, he was moved with fear. And it's not speaking about a slavish fear, as if some poor slave under the judgment and the wrath of a tyrant. No, it's speaking about a holy reverence for a holy God. And Noah was moved by fear. And we think about his occupation. He was preparing an ark. And the Bible tells us that for 120 years, he was a faithful witness and a preacher of righteousness as he prepared the ark. And when he prepared the ark, thank God, he found salvation from the flood. He, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And they entered into the ark, and God shut the door. And they were safe when a whole civilization perished. It repented God that he had made man. God said, I'm going to destroy man from the very face of the earth. And beloved, when we think about these things and we think that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us the authority, and Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We can therefore say, Noah lived in a day of great wickedness and apostasy when people had turned away from God, spiritual and moral darkness. They lived for self and self alone. But yet we realize that not only did he live in a day of darkness, but he lived in a day of grace. For Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and there was an opportunity. And an opportunity was given to men and women who lived in Noah's day. The Bible reminds us there in the first epistle of Peter, and in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 20, the scripture says, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The Bible says that God was long-suffering. And in those years and days when the ark was preparing, the opportunity was given, it was a day of grace. And I often think about that. The Bible says that the longest living man was a man called Methuselah. He lived for 969 years. Remember one night I was taking a children's meeting, and I said, you know, boys and girls, Methuselah was 969 years of age. And a wee fella says, I wouldn't like to see him. You want to see my granda? He's only 80. There you are. But this man, Methuselah, he lived for 969 years. Why? Why? Because God said, when he will die, it shall come, the judgment, the flood, universal judgment upon this whole world. Perhaps that's why God allowed him to live such a long life. And then for 120 years. And then even as the ark was finished, another 7 days. Friend, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Noah lived in a dark day, but he lived in a day of grace. We live in a dark day, but thank God, we're still in the day of grace. And that's why we have gospel missions and gospel meetings, because we are assured from the word of God that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We rejoice that we're still in the day of grace. God is still in the soul-saving business. God is still moving. God is still working. God is calling men and women to salvation. And thank God for that. We're in a day of grace, day of opportunity, a day when men and women can be saved. But you notice Noah lived at the end of an age. Lived at the end of an age. The old world was going to perish. It was going to be cleansed by that flood. Noah would step out, as it were, onto a new earth. And he would offer sacrifice and thanksgiving to God for preserving him in the flood. We live at the end of an age. We hear people talking about all the things that are going on in this world. As I said the other night, they're all things that prove that God's word is true. There are famines, there are pestilences, there's diseases, there's wars and rumors of wars, as it was in the days of Sodom. We have that sin of sodomy being okayed by our government and the laws that are passed. And as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We live at the end of an age. We live in the last days. And that's why, men and women, we need to be ready. What manner of men and women, the Apostle Paul says, ought we to be when we are living in these days? But I just want you to notice about these things, some very simple things. You know, I could read you tonight some statistics, but maybe it would take me too long, and you maybe not get out of here till midnight, but we don't want to do that. But I was reading one night, just one Friday night, I had bought the Belfast Telegraph. I don't often buy the Telegraph. And I was reading it, and my wife and I were just discussing about everything you hear on the news. It's a stabbing. It's another murder. Or it's a bomb. Or it's violence or vice. And just reading down, and I just underlined the head. I guess it's just on one night, and it said, "Mother stands by son who shot his father dead." Another one said, "Mother weeps as her four sons are jailed for a total of 41 years for killing a couple in a fireball at their home." Then it says another couple were drunk and had to be handcuffed after a whole fracas on an aeroplane. Then it said that there's a letter bomb found at the post office. And then it says a judge says to the plaintiff, "Expect to spend the next 15 years in jail." Judge tells two abusers who preyed on their own family. Then it says a man was accused of biting off another man's ear, and he was banned from a hostelry in the city. Mother of baby twins jailed after assaults. Racist blamed for a bullet sent to school. Four guilty of criminal cruelty now in custody. Police appeal after armed men robbed shops of cash. 13 crimes a day against the elderly. That's just one night. Headlines and smaller headlines in the newspaper. We live in a wicked age. But I want you to notice these things, very simple things. You know, Hebrews tells us there in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "By faith Noah being warned of God." And I want you to think with me for a moment or two. He was warned of God. That was a revelation from God to Noah. God spoke to Noah. Noah was a just man, a good man, perfect in his generations. He walked with God, and God revealed himself to him. The Bible says the same about Abraham. When Stephen, the godly martyr, was almost at his death, and they were going to stone him, and he preached that final sermon, he says, "The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Ur of the Chaldees." Abraham was a pagan. heathen, idolater, a worshipper of the sun, the moon, the stars. But there in the air of the Chaldees, one day God Almighty revealed himself to Abraham. And Abraham became known as the father of the faithful as he stepped out at God's revelation and he followed God onto a land that God would show him. That's why the Bible even says here in the next verse, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Friend, God revealed himself to Noah. There's a revelation from God all through the scriptures in the Old Testament and into the New Testament. We see God revealing himself to men. The old prophet, Balaam, and God used a donkey even to speak to him. We read there about the days of Lot and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. God sent angels, revealed himself to Lot, revealed himself to Lot's wife. God sent Moses, a faithful prophet, to bring the revelation of God to Pharaoh. God sent a dream to Pilate's wife when Pilate sat on the seat of judgment when Jesus Christ was before him. God sent John the Baptist to preach with power against wicked Herod. And God sent Paul the apostle to speak to King Agrippa, speak to Festus. It's a revelation from God. God reveals himself to men and women in this day and age through the preaching of his word and through the gospel message. We have in the 66 books of the Bible, the whole canon of Holy Scripture, God's inspired, infallible, inerrant word, God's message to men and women. And Paul writes to the Romans there, and he says, hearken they hear without a preacher, and hearken he preach except to be sent. And oh my, the Bible says, when we hear and we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. When we hear the message and believe God's revelation to men. And then you notice the Bible says, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. We can say, here's his conviction. He believed the message. And beloved, Noah was a good man, a righteous man, a just man. But I want to tell you tonight that even the most wicked men and the most hardened hearts and the most religious people who perhaps you might think could never be saved, God can move by his Spirit, and even sin-hardened hearts can be moved and melted by the Spirit of God and brought to saving faith in Christ. Sometimes it's at a time of sickness. Sometimes people are laid aside. I was preaching as a minister in Newton Ards for 5 years. And there was a dear man there, and he had many problems in his life, and he was a very strong man. And I remember one time he got knocked down crossing the road, and I went to see him in the hospital. And he looked up at me, and he's lying on the bed. He says, Fred, imagine me lying here. He went on to tell about the different things he could do, and he had done. And I knew all about him and about his love for the drink as well. And I said, you know, the old preachers used to say, sometimes God has to put a man on his back to make him look up. He says, do you think so? I said, I do, you know so. And I read with him and I prayed with him and I went away. And the next day when I went back to see him, you know, he says, Fred, I have put my faith and trust in, I have looked up. And I have received Christ as my Savior. And that man was prayed for years. For years. And you know, he wasn't married. He had nobody at home. And when it came to the weekend, and they were going to discharge him, and they sent him down to a nursing home. He made the hospital ring up and make sure that somebody out of the church would collect them and take them to church on Sunday, because God had saved him. He came under conviction in his time of sickness. Sometimes it's a time of sorrow. Sometimes if a loved one is taken from the home, from the family, it's at that time when the Lord draws very near, and we realize, as the psalmist says, Lord, teach us to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. And sometimes people who have been hardened to the things of God for many, many years, but a loved one, a dear mother or a dear father, husband or wife, is snatched away from the home. And in that time, they're moved with fear. They're convicted of their sin, and they trust Christ. Maybe some dear saint of God bears witness to them, shows them. Maybe some sermon, some verse of a scripture text that has been spoken, some verse of a hymn that has been sung. And my, it goes over and over and over and over in their mind and in their head and in their heart until they realize, I need to get right with God. Like that hymn we were singing about, the man who saw the sign, prepare to meet thy God. And I could tell you of two instances in two of our churches where people passing by the church and reading a text of scripture sought out the ministers and came to know Christ, because the word of God, thank God, will accomplish the work of God in the human heart. So there was a revelation of God to Noah. And Noah had conviction in his heart. And then there was preparation. He prepared the ark. He prepared the ark. Paul said concerning his testimony, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And Noah was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. God said, Noah, build an ark. God gave him the blueprint. God told him the kind of wood to make it. God told him to pitch it within and without with pitch. God told him the dimensions. God told him all about it. I'm sure he had to enlist many, many others to help him. They were all told just why this ark was being built. Some years ago, there was a gospel hymn that was very popular. And it said, on Calvary's hill, an ark has been built. Just Noah's ark is a picture of the provision that God made for you and for me at the place called Calvary. One of the interesting things about the ark was made of gopher wood, incorruptible wood. Then it was pitched on the inside and on the outside with pitch. And that word means, it's the word kaphar, it means atonement. And when Noah was inside the ark, he looked at the ark and he could see the pitch that spoke about atonement. When God looked down from heaven, he looked on the outside of the ark, he could see the pitch. It speaks of atonement. Dear friend, when we are safe in Christ, we have trusted him. He is our ark of salvation, and we are saved. And we might feel, and the devil might accuse us of many things, for he is the accuser of the brethren. But we are sure that God looks on Christ, our ark, the one who provided salvation for us. And God is absolutely satisfied with the work of his Son, with the shed blood of the Savior on the old rugged cross of Calvary. That's why he was raised again on the third day for our justification. And God is well pleased with his Son. Noah prepared the ark in obedience. Wonder tonight, should there be one even in our meeting? And you've prepared for many, many things, but you've never prepared for eternity. Can I just say, you know, the Bible says here, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, was moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Bible speaks about Noah's salvation to the saving of his house. What a wonderful picture of those words that Paul said to the Philippian jailer in Acts 16 and 31. The jailer says, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And the Bible tells us that that old jailer got saved, that he took Paul and Silas to his home. They taught the people in his home, and they too came to saving faith in Christ. A father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister. And isn't it a wonderful thing that just as Noah, by faith, warned of God, prepared an ark, saved his house, you could be the Noah for your house. You could be the one changed, saved, a Christian in your household that may bring your family to salvation. And then you notice it says here, in the which he condemned the world. We speak about condemnation. Condemnation. Noah and his holy fear, I believe, condemned their vain self-confidence. Noah trusted in God. Noah trusted in God's word and God's revelation. But the men and women in the world, they just went on ahead. They laughed at Noah. They scoffed at him. They went on eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, just having a good time. Until the day came when Noah entered into the ark. Noah's fear condemned their vain confidence. Noah's faith condemned their vile unbelief. Oh, they did not believe. Noah's fidelity or Noah's obedience condemned their vicious contempt of God. You know, God always warns men and women before he strikes, because God is long-suffering. Bible says in Proverbs 29 and verse 1, "He being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and not without remedy." That's why Job says, "Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee." And then the Bible says, Noah became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That's justification. Thank God we can say tonight, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We who were lost and ungodly, aliens, enemies, strangers to grace and to God, thank God we have become heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been born again of the Holy Spirit. We are the children of God. And we say like the Apostle John, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." Noah became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Why? Because he obeyed the revelation. The question is, in the gospel mission, as we preach from God's revelation to men, the way of salvation, will you obey? Will you obey? Because the Bible says, "What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel?" In other words, the apostle could not find words to describe the judgment, the terrible eternity of men and women who believe not. May God bless his word to our hearts. And if you know not Christ as your Savior, we're your servants for his sake, and we'd love to show you more about God's way.